I was going to preach on God's eternal New Year's resolution from Psalm 115:1. Not unto us, Lord, not unto us, but to thy name give glory. And so his eternal New Year's resolution would have been, obviously, to make sure he's glorified and that we find our highest happiness in him, that God saved you for the exhibition of his glory in your highest happiness in Jesus Christ. But it just didn't work out. So now my sermon manuscript says, God's eternal New Year's resolution, resolved by God never to be anxious about anything. Isn't that kind of funny? That God has resolved never to be anxious about anything, as if what could God be anxious about, since he's God after all? But as a consequence, can we see automatically why God would tell us, who are saved by his grace, captured by the Holy Spirit, watched over by divine providence, why God would tell you and me and everyone else, don't be anxious, don't worry. So that's where I came out. And guess who's preaching to me on my own subject of concern? Because I'm worried and anxious and concerned about tomorrow. We're leaving. We don't know what's going on. We don't know if the cars are going to get over there, and on and on. But those are just things that bother a human soul, don't they? And yet God is there. So in that light, I have one more scripture passage to read, and that is the passage upon which I will be preaching to you today from God's word for his glory. And by the way, my manuscript also says here, Philippians 4:1-7, our derivative antidote to anxiety, meaning God says he's not going to be anxious, therefore as his sons, daughters, we shouldn't be either. But then I have written here, last sermon at Roslyn Presbyterian Church before retirement. So that's right in front of me, which gives me then leeway to preach a long, long time. So buckle up, buttercup. Hear now God's holy word, Philippians 4. And in honor of God's holy word, written, inspired by the Holy Spirit, preserved for us for these eons of time, the very written word of God, may I invite you, if you're comfortably able, to be upstanding in honor of the written word of God. Therefore, my brothers, Philippians 4:1, beginning here, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia, and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. You in Christ, your name is in the book of life. Have no worry. Here we go, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Glory be to God in the highest. You got it. Amen. Please be seated. Pray with me. Gracious God, we pray that the word will be our rule. The Holy Spirit will anoint us truly and unmistakably and powerfully, and so be our guide. And we pray, Father, as always, that your greater glory will be the highest joy and supreme concern of our hearts, minds, and souls and spirits through Christ our Lord. Amen. So today from this passage, we're going to see from God's word that, number one, you are and I am to know something. And from that knowing something, we are to do something. And then we're to do something else, number three, and then number four, because we know something, and because we're doing something, God promises to do something for us. There it is in terms of where we're going. So let me start by a wonderful illustration that we've heard before, but I can never get enough of it. And it was years ago in the inaugural address at the Free University of Amsterdam that the great Dutch theologian Abraham Kuyper said that there is no area of life, and here I want to get real loud, no area of life that the Lord Jesus Christ does not lay his hand upon and say, mine. And this includes, of course, everything you worried about this past year, everything that you're worrying about right now, Bobby, Sally, Sue, Mary, and Bill, and everything you could possibly worry about in 2022. Christ has laid his hand upon it and said, on behalf of loving you, on behalf of being your Savior, mine. And it is this reason, this ownership of Jesus Christ over all of your life, in all of your time, in all of your events, in all of your sports, all of your past, all of your future, which tells you that anxiety for your Christian life is an unnecessary thing. Already getting a little North Carolina accent in there. Yet, aw shucks, which one of us does not at one time or another struggle with worry? Makes me think of the author Thomas Carlyle, who had a neighbor who had a rooster that would crow maybe once in the day or once in the night, middle of the night, because roosters do that too, and or maybe early in the morning, of course. But he was so upset by this that he assailed his neighbor to do something about this. And the neighbor said, well, golly, my rooster only crows once or twice a day. And Thomas Carlyle said, yes, but you don't understand how much time I spend worrying about when that rooster is going to crow. And isn't that the way it is? Now, the Word of God, as you know, is not forbidding you to have legitimate concern. There's a difference between I'm concerned about certain things that are coming up tomorrow versus I'm really worried and uptight and tied in knots. So God doesn't forbid you to have concern. It's valid. It's good stuff. You're rightly concerned about friends and family. You're rightly concerned about jobs, wives, husbands. I mean, in the singular, of course. Girlfriend, boyfriend, health, yeah, I'm concerned about my health. You have concern about who your next pastor will be. And what about the health of America with Omicron running about? What about grief and loss and change and the unknown tomorrows? How will we handle all of that? You know, those are concerns, they're real. But the thing is, God forbids you, this is a command, this is an imperative, have anxiety about nothing. So God forbids me and you from letting the concerns kind of scamper into the area of worry land. And why so? Well, you and I both know it diminishes God's glory as our witness in our lives, in our sense of it, and it hurts us too. And God does not want us to hurt. So he gives us this word, and he tells us we're going to know something. We're going to look at that in just a second. But you see, Jesus has put his hands upon all of that. And he has said, on every one of your concerns, so they don't become worries, he has said, mine, in a happy, loving, caring way. The government of our lives is upon Christ's shoulders. We noted he's got the whole world in his little bitty hands. So, concerns, yes, but anxiety, no. So, what's the difference? Well, anxiety, worry, may be defined as that state you enter into when the weight of your care or concern for others and the weight of your concern for yourself with respect to the means of life, when that weight becomes greater than the weight of your faith in Jesus Christ as owning everything in your life and being with you in every event and moment of your life and saying to you over your life, mine. You see, when that happens, when the weight of the things becomes heavier than the weight of our trust, concern crosses the line and becomes anxiety. So please frame it this way. Worry hits you when the weight of your concern becomes greater than the weight of your trusting and your resting in the arms of Jesus Christ as lovingly, sovereignly over the issue at hand. That's when we can go spinning out. Now, important balance, nota bene. That's the Latin that says, please take good note. Anxiety is not a salvation issue. It's a sanctification issue. It's a matter of putting to death the works of the flesh and bringing to life the works of God as He wants them to reign in your life. But you are saved by grace alone, by faith alone, by justification, by faith alone. And what is justification? It is that act of God's free grace, wherein He freely pardons all your sins and accepts you as 100% righteous in His sight, solely for the righteousness of Jesus Christ, charged to your account and received how? By faith alone, apart from any works of the law. And that's why you're wrapped forever, and your worry, your anxiety, which is going to hit you sometimes. We're looking for a substantial freedom from it, not a perfection from it, because we're not going to get there. So, it's not a salvation issue. Still, the fact is, I think most of us Christians worry at some time or other, and it is a lack of trust in God when we do, but it doesn't mean you don't know Jesus. It doesn't mean you don't love Jesus. It just means you're a little messed up at the moment, like I am right now and was last night. Thank you, Susan, for your help. So, well, I may be concerned for tomorrow. You may let worry and concern, as I do, grab hold of tomorrow. And apparently the Philippians were worried, and Paul is concerned about their worry. And the Holy Spirit inside of Paul is pushing Paul to write the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit sees this, and He comes along through Paul, and He says, I'm going to help y'all today. I'm going to help you deal with this. I'm going to help out those Philippians with some how-tos centered in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to let you have that very Word of God written to help you in the how-tos. So the inspired written Word of God is given here as the enduring truth that leads you to trust in Jesus Christ, to believe in Him, that He owns all of you and all of your tomorrow. So what's God Himself tell you to do in the how-tos of dealing with anxiety? There's a method to it all. God's sovereign, but He's lays it on you and me to do something. First off, you are to know something. You are to know something. You're called by God's word here to realizing an unchanging absolute truth. Here it is. The Lord is at hand. Another translation is, the Lord is near. That's just a rehearsal of Christ saying over your life, mine. And I like the literal Greek. The Lord is at hand. He's at my right hand. He's at my left hand. He's at my right foot. He's at my left foot. They could have said the Lord is at foot. That's how close the Lord is. So, in the new year, if anxiety or worry comes knocking, you are to know the Lord is near. And again, once you become convinced of the presence of Jesus Christ, constant and irrevocable in your life, anxiety is reduced, perhaps even nullified. And I say it that way because we can't be perfect this side of heaven. We're going to stumble and struggle. But this is an amazing help that God gives us. Ecclesiastes just tells us that from our perspective, looking out on life, it seems rather unstable and unpredictable. The rich prosper, the ungodly rich prosper, that is, and the righteous poor, they go down the tubes and they're broke. They got nothing. What's that about? It's the helter-skelter nature of this broken, fallen world. And Ecclesiastes just presents us straight up, and we don't know what's going to happen. And so into that uncertainty, which you look around, one Christian gets COVID and goes home to heaven. Another Christian doesn't even get it. They're living in the same household. What is that about? So into that uncertainty, God gives us the certainty of his stable presence. And it's not a neutral presence. It is totally blessed presence in favor of you, the Christian. We guys with Muscle Mike and the other men on Wednesdays, we looked at Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus the Lord. No condemnation. That's God's embrace of positivity on your life. And I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing, nothing on earth shall separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. That's how favorable is this Lord is at hand. The Lord is near, meaning there is no area of your life that Jesus Christ does not lay his hand upon and say to you, this area of your life is mine. The future of 2022, these concerns of yours, they are mine. This possible failure tomorrow in time in the new year is mine. And the word of the Lord says, I am at your right hand. How close is this nearness of Christ concerning the changing and unpredictable tides of 2022? The Bible says, in God we live and move and have our very being, Acts 17. How close is this at hand? The Bible says that Jesus is, quote, the radiance of the glory of God, and the exact imprint of God's nature, and that Jesus upholds the universe by the word of his power. You are that universe, beloved of God. How near? Ephesians 1:11 says God works all things according to the counsel of his will. All things into 2022 are in the will of God's love and care for you. So hang in there. How on top of things is the Lord of your life going into 2022? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Romans 11:36. About the Lord's nearness in your life, Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things in 2022 work together for those who love him and are called according to his purposes, that God works those things together. I left that minor important point out. Does that nearness and closeness ever end? Does that nearness take a coffee break? Does it only work from home for 2022? Well, I had a friend in Christ say to me the other day on Christmas Eve, Jesus Christ said in his parting words, as he being lifted up to glory from this earth, when it looks like he's leaving us, right? That's exactly when he says, lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. In other words, the Lord is at hand. And you're to know that. And because you know that, then you do something. It just makes sense, doesn't it? I know he is at hand. So I'm just going to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. I'm going to glorify the Lord. I'm going to say, not unto us, Lord, oh, not unto us, but to thy name be all the glory because of your steadfast love and faithfulness. And please note, that's not an abnegation or a denial or a wiping away of the steadfast love of God and his faithfulness. Who gets that? You, me. He's saying, God be glorified. It's all glory to you because of, and by the way, as you are glorified, I know your glory is the measure of your commitment to your steadfast love and faithfulness on my life. We know that. Been playing that bugle for a long time, for 3 years and 10 months off and on. So, God's sovereign grace has captured you in Jesus Christ. And this grace and kindness of God has wooed you away now from the falsehood of thinking that you're alone, because you're not. And this has wooed you all the way into the sweet comfort of just knowing that the Lord is near. So, the default context into which anxiety tries to come, knocking on your door, is 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. And anxiety finds that that door to worry is locked, and it can't get in. I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. And God is greatly glorified when you, His people, are substantially free from anxiety. So yes, God is concerned that we respond to His nearness with a sense of joy and a sense of rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ now and into 2022. I mean, that's logical. Christ owns everything. There's no area of the universe which He doesn't say mine. You've been bought by the blood of His cross. You've been bought by His death to being His inheritance. You've been bought by His resurrection from the dead for His possession and your justification by faith alone. And since you are now in His most capable hands, and you find yourself rejoicing in His glory as a default way of living. Again, I get depressed. I get murky, mucky. We all do. But we're going back to that position. Here's Romans 7, Jeffrey Brown and Christian. The very thing I don't want to do, I do. And the very thing I want to do, I don't do. I find then that when I want to do good, sin is right there knocking on my door. Phooey, baloney on that. I don't like that. But his life kind of reminds me of the farmer who had a donkey named Anxiety. And the farmer had to go away, so he tied his donkey. You know this one, between the donkey's favorite foods, hay and something else, and just two stacks of good food. And he came back, and the donkey was lying there half starved to death because the donkey got worried that if he ate this one, it would go away. But if he ate that one, it would go away. So he didn't eat either one of them in his state of anxiety. Well, what about your new year, 2022? The donkey had worried himself sick. Will you be torn between two possibilities, tossed to and fro on the waves of indecision? As of yesterday, I said to Jan, maybe we could stay through April. And Jan said, well, anyway, we've already noted that anxiety hits us when the weight of our cares for self or others with respect to the means of life is greater, what, than the weight of our trust and rest in Jesus Christ owning everything about us. Now we add to that that anxiety also has this side of excessive indecision for fear that we'll lose something or not get everything we think we need, and oh my, oh my, oh my, and I'm wringing my hands, and you can easily forget to rejoice in the Lord in that context. And I get it, and you get it too. It's real life in our Savior walking the Christian road of ups and downs and bumps and bruises. But I'll tell you one thing, if I'm locked there now in this confusion of the weight or the turmoil or the indecision or whatever, there's one thing I can do even in the midst of the fraughtness on my soul of anxiety. You know what I can do? This is the second thing that we do. We can pray. I can drag my sorry self and pray. And that's where it comes. Have anxiety for nothing, right? But in everything. And look at the pancake stacking, like a stack of pancakes that you used to eat when you were a little kid. I don't do that anymore because one pancake will put 30 pounds on me, you know what I mean? But you stack the, by prayer, with supplication, and thanksgiving. Let your requests, holy mackerel, Andy, how many words can be used for prayer in one fell swoop? You got them all there, and they're different nuances. Prayer itself, the first word in the Greek, prosukhi, is the general cupboard of prayer. And then you open it up with the word deaces in the Greek, which are particular matters of prayer. By the way, anything from A to Z If you worried about Russell Wilson or Geno Smith's performance at a quarterback, go ahead. That's what God is saying. Don't be anxious about anything. And I know there are better, more wonderful things to pray about, like the poor and those who are hurting and the landslides. But the point of this, don't miss the point for the sake of your grand piety of watching the world. Don't miss the point that this is God saying, I don't care what's on your heart. If it is provoking anxiety in you, you bring it to me because it's mine. And I just love it because I've prayed about apple pie. I've prayed about my car. Oh, I'm praying. I'm anxious. You see the snow on our car? My little car won't move in the snow. The big car, four-wheel drive. This is bad. I don't even know if it's going to get on the thing tomorrow. And I'm worried and anxious. So guess what I prayed about last night? Holy man, Jeffrey, please, God, get my 20-year-old BMW on the trailer. You look at me and you say, can't you pray for the unsaved? Yeah, but that was anxiety. Can't even pronounce it. It's so upsetting, and I'm so worried. So there you go, and I see I got to wrap up. I had a whole lot more to say, and maybe we should just do a long sermon so that you never forget. We are so glad he's gone. He preached the longest sermons I ever heard in my life. So, I got to get, though, to the fact that, okay, you know something. The Lord is at hand. So you do something. Rejoice in the Lord. You do something else. When you're messed up on that, you just fall on your knees and pray. And it's, oh, and you thank God. Eucharist, the word for our Eucharist is here used in the thankfulness to God. Thanking him for whatever he sovereignly decides to do. Because he might not get those cars. Now I'm going to have to buy a new one. Say glory to God. You know what I mean? I don't know. You don't know. But there it is. And because you've got all these elements of prayer. And by the way, I prayed every football game for Clemson when Trevor Lawrence was their quarterback, because I knew he loved Jesus and they were doing great under him, and I don't know him, but I liked him. I prayed every Friday and Saturday, even during the game. So there, God, I didn't want to be anxious. I think you're getting the point, because I'm beating it to death, aren't I? So you know something, the Lord is near. I rehearsed already. So finally, I got to give you the promise. The promise is, for 2022, from God, who has resolved never to be anxious for the rest of his life, never has been. That's what's so funny about that. The promise is, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here's God's gift, the peace of God that passes all understanding. Will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Some think it's, the commentators, that it's the peace that God has in and of himself, in his own being, that's what guards you. Another believe that it's the peace of God that he forms in you through the work of sanctification. Me, I like the idea of God's own peace bequeathed to you. And it passes understanding. I've been there at times, you've been there at times. Sometimes I don't have any peace, but sometimes I've had a peace that just doesn't make sense, and it's profound, and it's inescapable. Well, guard, the word in the Greek is the word that was used when a sentry was set to guard the camp. And that sentry marched diligently all night long, back and forth, never resting in his military demeanor, in protection of the camp to ward off and alert and alarm anything that would bother those in the camp resting. So God sets himself in the warrior mentality to walk march back and forth across your heart for 2022, challenging anything that would try to come in. But please note, he does whatever he pleases. And what he pleases is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that's where I just want to jump to Psalm 115. We're almost done. But I got to give glory to God in this sense. I want to join Psalm 115:3, which we read earlier, to this peace of God through Christ the Lord will guard your hearts and minds. And that verse says, our God is in the heavens, and he does all that he pleases. He does all that he pleases. God bless you. This verse teaches that whenever God acts, God acts in a way that pleases himself. God is never constrained to do a thing that he despises. He is never backed into a corner where his only recourse is to do something that he hates to do. He does whatever he pleases to communicate you the strength of his being behind Philippians 4, 6 through 8. And therefore, he does whatever he pleases. In some sense, God has pleasure in all that he does. He has pleasure in giving you his peace that passes understanding. And it does. And this should lead you then, and me, to bow before God and praise his sovereign freedom. That in some sense, God always acts in freedom according to his own good pleasure, following the dictates of his own delights, that God never becomes the victim of circumstance. God is never forced into a situation where he must do something in which he cannot rejoice. He is not mocked. He is not trapped or cornered or coerced. Even at the one point in history where God did what in one sense was the hardest thing for him to do, to not spare his own son, but freely give him up for us all, Romans 8:32, God was free in doing even then what pleased him. Paul says, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that the self-sacrifice of Jesus in death was, quote, a fragrant offering and pleasing sacrifice to God, Ephesians 5:2. The greatest sin, the greatest death ever, and the hardest act of God was, in some profound way, pleasing to the Father. And on his way to Calvary, Jesus himself had legions of angels at his disposal. And he said in John 10:18, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord, of his own good pleasure. Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. And for the joy that is set before him, it says in Hebrews 12:2, he laid down his life. And at the one point in the history of the universe where Jesus looked trapped, he was totally in charge, doing precisely what he pleased, dying to glorify his Father, in justifying you, the ungodly, and in justifying me, the ungodly. And so let us be in awe and in New Year's wonder, and let us tremble that not only are praises of God's sovereignty, but also our salvation through the death of Jesus Christ for us. Hang on this. Our God is in the heaven, and he does whatever he pleases, and glory to his name. And so the antidote to anxiety says, know that the Lord is at hand. He does what he pleases, yes, but in so doing, he invites you to rejoice in him and find your highest happiness and trust in him. And then he invites you that if you're stumbling there, just throw yourself in prayer before him, because he does whatever he pleases in owning you with love and with care and with divine providence that knows the hairs on your head or all the ones that are going to fall off in 2022. So you know, and you do, and you do. And then God promises, as he has pleased to reveal in his word, it's an unbreakable promise. And that with the one final flourish of the pen through Jesus Christ the Lord, because apart from Jesus Christ the Lord, my advice to those outside of Christ? You gotta worry, be anxious. But in Jesus, what? Be worry? No. With Christ, it's all confirmed. And that to the glory of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit into the new year, 2022. Let's pray. Gracious God, as we sing, and I thank you for the family of God letting me preach all the way till a quarter after. All right, 17 minutes after. Thank you, God, for that. And now we're going to sing a hymn of commitment of our lives to you for 2022. So we sing it individually, yes, but also there is a corporate sense to here I am, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen.